It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Let's talk about Riverside.fm, the leading podcast and video creation platform that's changing the game on how creators record content. Riverside FM allows you to record studio quality audio and up to 4K video on their platform. Now you can interview a guest 1,000 miles away and it'll sound like you're sitting in the same room. It's as easy to use as Zoom, but gives much higher quality audio and video recordings. Did we mention that they have a mobile app? This allows guests to connect directly from their phone and record content from anywhere. After your content is finished, you can easily grab clips to share them across your social media channels. So if you're looking for a hero platform for all your recording needs, from podcasts to webinars to other video content, you should be using Riverside FM. Sign up today so you can focus on your content and leave the quality to Riverside FM. Use promo code SHIPIT and receive a 30% discount on your first 3 months of your subscription. That's promo code SHIPIT to receive a 30% discount on the first 3 months of your subscription. Back to the show.
Welcome back to the Talking Blues podcast. We're back after an extended break. Obviously, we had international break after that Southampton game. So we had a couple weeks off. We're here. We're refreshed. Josh still needed a couple extra days, so he'll be back next episode. But we're here after a 1-0 Chelsea victory. Ben Chilwell with the goal that puts us in front. And, not a great performance. You know, some could say we were dominated by Brentford, but we got 3 points, and that's really all that matters. Obviously, I'm joined by Peter. Peter, how are you doing? And, how do you feel about the performance by Chelsea? Obviously, not the best, but Mendy coming up big multiple times.
Yeah, that's basically what I was going to say. That's the main takeaway from the game. First off, you asked me how I was doing. I'm doing well. Excited to be back after the break. But yeah, like you said, the main takeaway for me is that Mendy is the best goalkeeper in the world, and he was robbed of a Ballon d'Or nomination. I mean, I'm trying to think of like a game where he ever really like played bad for us, and I really don't think there is one. I don't think he's ever played bad. Sure, there's some games where he doesn't keep clean sheets, but like every keeper does that, and it's becoming a rarity for him not to keep clean sheets. He saved us at least 4 or 5 times. Chalaba also saved us after Mendy saved us too. That was a very, very, very smart play by him to get back onto the line and clear that off. But I mean, in a game where we had 3 center backs who don't usually start for us, Christensen, you can say he does because he plays every once in a while when Thiago Silva can't, so he doesn't really count. But our 2 outside center backs, Chalaba and Malang Sarr, who was on his debut, by the way, they're not our usual center backs, right? They've barely played. Malang Sarr, that's his Premier League debut. Chalaba, he plays every once in a while, but he doesn't really play that often. And I mean, for the most part, they played very well. I mean, they both struggled once Brentford decided to go put like 10-man attacking and 1 man back towards the end of the minute, last 10 minutes of the game when Mendy had to save us. But I mean, for the most part, they played very well. And obviously, when you start 2 center backs that really don't play that often, I think you're expecting that you're going to have to face some chances, especially when you're going up against a team that is Ivan Toney. Chalaba did very well with him, by the way. I think it was a physical test for him, and he stepped up to it. They got a bit of a feud. They had a few rough fouls, but Anthony Taylor didn't decide to give Chalaba a red for doing nothing, which is a good sign. I mean, I love how I'm talking about Anthony Taylor like he's a Chelsea player, but Anthony Taylor didn't do anything too bad, which is a miracle. I was very scared when Kovacic got the yellow early on that he was going to send him off. At some point during the game, I think it was smart of Tuchel to take Kovacic off because I was scared that he was going to get a red for basically the entire game. But I mean, Overall, defensively, it was solid. Despite giving up all those chances, when a team throws that many people attacking, you're going to have to get good chances. And it's a good thing we can trust many to step up big when we need them to. So when the game slips away, we know we have someone that can, despite giving up some big chances, he'll keep us in it. But then attacking-wise, I mean, me and Alex texted during the game a bit, and we talked about the formation. We obviously wanted to match Brentford's 3-5-2. So we put three in the middle, Conte, Kovacic, and Loftus-Cheek, which worked well. I thought it worked okay the first half. Loftus-Cheek was getting into a lot of good positions. Kovacic and Conte were kind of drifting out wide and getting into some space. But especially Loftus-Cheek created a bunch of chances. Is that from the formation or is that from just his talent? Either way, I think Loftus-Cheek was very, very, very good. But in the second half, it really started to slip away. We didn't really create anything going forward. I mean, we had the occasional chance, but I think Lukaku and Werner combined for like two shots and maybe one shot on target the entire game, which is certainly not something you will like to see. But Chilwell scored his third goal in three games. I think he had one. He scored against Southampton, scored for England, and scored here. I mean, it was bound to happen when he was going to play this good. And you know, as soon as Alonso gets replaced, the person who replaces him plays well and Alonso never gets back in. So this is pretty expected. But basically, my overall thing was just, it was a good game. It really wasn't that good of a game, but it was a good game. We were able to be resilient. We were able to hold on despite being faced with a lot of pressure from Brentford. We got a goal, that's all that matters, and we got the win, which is all that matters, and we're back at the top of the table, which is great.
Yeah, I mean, it's really crucial that we got those 3 points. Obviously, Liverpool and Man City winning, Manchester United obviously falling to Leicester, but very big win, like you mentioned, Peter. It was definitely an important 3 points. Mendy was sensational. I thought Malang Sarr was very good as well. I really enjoyed watching him. He made a few tackles that, you know, were definitely a bit questionable, but a solid center half tackle like you've ever seen. And I know I sound like an old dad right now, but yeah, it was a solid tackle, like an old school defender. And I thought Chalobah played very well. Christensen, you know, I want to talk about this for a second. Andreas Christensen used to be a defender who I thought was solid, but didn't have the anticipation skills or the awareness to really be at that top level. And I think now he's really getting, and he seems, I don't know what happened under Tuchel, but he seems to have that awareness, that anticipation now that is so crucial. And you're seeing the same thing from Chalobah too, getting on the line when, you know, there was a threat of the ball getting chipped over Mendy and bouncing into the net. Gets on the line, blocks it, boots it away. But yeah, I was truly impressed by that. I do have to say, I'm very glad Reece James is back because I think Aspi at right wing back is just not it. It just doesn't give us the outlet. And also what I don't understand is why he's so far forward. That really like bugs me. I don't know why. He's almost playing like a winger. And he's almost like exposed at certain points. I think he's trying to almost overcompensate. Because he knows, hey, I'm not exactly the best best going forward technically. I need to just be further forward or something. I don't know what he's doing, but it was odd, some of his positioning in that game. Chilwell has been fantastic since he's come back into the lineup. Really happy for him. And in the midfield, Ruben Loftus-Cheek. I know this is a very like not fair comparison, but I would say Ruben Loftus-Cheek reminds me of Paul Pogba a lot, and with the deficiencies of Paul Pogba as well, as we saw yesterday. But I think he is a fantastic dribbler of the ball. He just seems to glide down the pitch, and it really is beautiful to watch. I think the combination with all three of them, Loftus-Cheek, Conte, and Kovacic, I'm not sure how that worked, how it meshed together. Because to me, Kovacic and Ruben Loftus-Cheek have very similar roles in terms of what they do. So I feel like it's a one or the other situation there. But yeah, so that's kind of what I was thinking. It felt a little bit awkward at times. That's just kind of my opinion. I remember I was texting Peter about that as well. But yeah, it did feel awkward at certain points that the midfield just felt a little bit like stuffed. up front, you know, Werner, Lukaku, you know, they had decent games. Lukaku, obviously, you know, is on a mini scoring drought, not worried about it at all, though. But yeah, besides that, nothing really much more to say. Got to move on next week. Obviously, we have Norwich, and that's a must win game. And we should win that quite handedly. And we'll have that after we'll talk about that in the Malmo recap. But yeah, good performance. Go over the stats real quick. 5 shots for Chelsea, 1 shot on target compared to 17 shots for Brentford, 7 on target. We controlled possession 57% and had, you know, just controlled the game. And going to the live standings now, Chelsea sit top with 19 points, 2nd Liverpool with 18 points, 3rd Man City with 17 points, and 4th Brighton with 15 points. And yeah, that's pretty much it here for this Chelsea game and this Chelsea win. You know, important to see that that Reece James has come back. Obviously there's that Rudiger injury. Hopefully that's not too bad that he picked up over international break. But hopefully he can come back soon. But I do have a quick question here before we like move on, talk about Malmo for a few minutes. What do you think about Romelu Lukaku's role and how we're using him? Because for me, I think that it's almost like we're using him in these games against smaller opponents, you know, less talented opposition. I feel like we're wasting his talents almost.
I mean, not really. It's more just it's not even against the smaller opponents, even against bigger opponents. It's just in general, we aren't using him. Well, I wouldn't say we're not using him well. It's just that the other players aren't finding him. They aren't giving him the right kind of service. He's good at holding up the ball, and he's good at that, and then spreading it out wide. But the thing is, if he's doing that and holding it and spreading it out wide, who's there in the box? Werner? Why would Werner be in the box instead of Lukaku? Lukaku's meant to be that person that we have in the box that can turn, shoot, or get a cross in and score a header. But we're kind of using him more as like a center forward rather than like a true striker, a finishing striker. And I don't know if that's Tuchel's tactics, that's what he wants from him, if that's what Lukaku's making the runs and he prefers to do that, or anything. But I mean, we're not really finding him in the spots I think he'd be what we need him to do, which is just to finish these chances. I mean, in general, we're not really getting any shots off. And could that be because Lukaku's coming in too deep to try to play forward? I don't know. Could that just be this game if Brentford are sitting really deep and he thinks maybe he should come in to try to open up some space? That could be it. I don't really know. But I definitely think he'd be better off and we'd be able to score more goals if he stays kind of more towards the center and tries to look for kind of crosses.
Yeah, I agree with you. One thing I would say is I think Werner and Lukaku just don't mesh, because I think Werner is more of a threat on the counterattack, and with Lukaku, you're just trying to whip balls into the box, and I don't think Werner does the best job at that. So I think him and Lukaku, while it was an interesting idea, I don't think they're super compatible together. And I think someone like when Christian Pulisic comes back into the lineup when he's back from injury, players like Ziyech, players like Mason Mount, I think are much more compatible with Lukaku than someone like Werner. That's just personally my opinion. We'll see what Tuchel thinks, obviously, when those guys get back from injury, and we'll see what Tuchel actually thinks about that. But yeah, that's kind of just my thoughts about that situation. What do you think about Werner and Lukaku together?
I mean, when you look at it on paper, right, you'd think it'd be good because you can have Werner who makes the runs out wide and then have balls into Lukaku, but that's not even how it's working out. When you actually look at the game, that's really not what's happening. I mean, if anything, Lukaku's doing what Werner would think would be doing, and Werner's there in the middle to try to finish, which is kind of interesting, I guess. I mean, I think they can work together. Like, maybe this wasn't the game for it, or maybe they just aren't good together. But I mean, when you look at it and you look at their play styles, you think they probably should mesh together, but they really aren't. And if they aren't going to, I mean, maybe give them a game. Can you even give them a different game? We have a bunch of Pulisic still. Until Pulisic is injured, I think Werner and Lukaku is like right now, except for maybe Mount, is our best front two if we're playing this kind of 4-5-2 or 3-5-2. But it's just the rules are like reversed for some reason. It's, I don't know if Tuchel needs to change that. That's like I said, Tuchel's known to be something that like likes to spice things up, I think is a good way to put it. And could that him be trying to do that for this game and thought maybe that'd be better? I don't know, but they should be able to work together, but they just aren't meshing well.
Yeah, I think that's an accurate way to put it. Now, I guess we'll move on to Malmo real quick. Obviously, Wednesday, 3 o'clock here, Eastern Time, 8 o'clock in the UK. Chelsea, Malmo, we're going to be playing at home at Stamford Bridge. Malmo lost both games so far in the Champions League, and obviously we are with 3 points behind Juventus with 6 points. This should be a winnable game for sure. Malmo currently in their league, I believe they are, yes, they are first place in, I'm not going to pronounce the league, the Swedish league, with 44 points. I think we got to win this game. I don't think we're going to play a particularly strong lineup, but yeah, we should win this game, hopefully get some rotation in, and hopefully get some fitness for some of the players who have been out injured recently. And hopefully we move on to Norwich on Saturday, which obviously is going to be an early wake up for us here in the U.S. at 7:30 for everyone on the East Coast, 4:30 if you're on the West Coast. Now, if I was on the West Coast, I would not be waking up. Let's just say that.
yeah, I'll talk about Malmo. I mean, like you said, this should be a win. It's a must-win game. Obviously, all Champions League group stage games are must-win, but this in particular is a very important game to win. We just need to win. They're not as good as any side in the Premier League. I'd say maybe the only team that would be even close would be Norwich, which is kind of funny because we have them the game after. But we can probably play a weaker side, get some rest, get some rotation. I'd like to see Malang Sarr stay in. I think he played well. I'd like to see him get more game time. I think Loftus-Cheek should stay in. I think Jorginho should get back in for at least a half to try to get some fitness in. Mason Mount should start, hopefully. Reece James should get some fitness. Maybe throw Alonso there. I don't think we're going over a full lineup, but those are just some players I want to throw in. We need to win this game, and I don't think we're gonna do like an official lineup, so I'll do a score prediction too. Why not? 3-0 Chelsea, you know it, every time.
Well, also I would say Callum Hudson-Odoi also needs to be starting, I think. Get him some game time, and it's really like, you know, in this crowded room of attackers, I think he could be a possibility, especially with all these injuries and players out of form in our attack. But yeah, score prediction for me, I'm going to go 2-0 Chelsea, and I'm going to go with a Kovacic and a Reece James goal for that. And yeah, that's pretty much it for today's episode. We'll have a recap coming out shortly after the Malmo game, so look forward to that. And we'll see everyone next time, and Josh should be back for that, obviously. And thanks for listening to today's episode of Talking Blues, and we'll see you next time.
Welcome to the All 80s Movies Podcast.
I'm Bill.
And I'm Jason. And this is the podcast where we talk about the blockbusters, the flops, and everything in between from one of the freshest decades for movies, the 1980s. So whether you're a brain, a jock, a valley girl, or a Jedi, we've got some 80s classics for you.
Do these movies stand the test of time? Are we discovering something new? Is there an 80s movie we're finally watching for the first time?
Join us each week as we dive into the cinematic nostalgia that inspired and influenced a generation. From the hits to the cult classics, we'll discuss our earliest memories, favorite scenes, fun facts, and our not-so-favorite movie moments, too.
It's the All 80s Movies Podcast, now available on all major streaming platforms. Please subscribe and happy listening.